Let us pray. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you. Our Redeemer, our Sustainer, and the one who walks with us, who goes out of his way to meet us where we are. So, Lord, send your Holy Spirit to be here with us, to anoint us with your presence so that we can hear you, that we can hear your voice and get to know you better. It's in the name of Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen. Have you heard the phrase location, location, location? Have you? Yes, come on, be awake. I heard that saying when it was the first time we are selling our house and buying a new one. It was important for the realtor to put that phrase, those comments, in our listing because our house was in a prime location in Reston, Virginia. Today, we ask people to send us their location so that we can meet right there at a specific place. Often we receive texts from friends or family warning us about certain streets or neighborhoods or places because something is going on there. And we also receive alerts from our apps telling us that police is on the road or that a hazard is in there or there is an object or, most important, there is a lot of traffic ahead. I remember being 17 and learning how to drive. And my dad, who was the one who taught me how to drive, he gave me a specific instructions. And the instructions were, do not go to these streets and do not go to these neighborhoods. Please don't go there. And those specific instructions, I followed them sometimes. Good thing he didn't have an iPhone with Find My or Life 360 so that he will know where I was. He would have sent me a text with all caps saying, why are you driving there? Have you forgotten everything that I told you? Have you ever been the one who gives those recommendations? Or have you been the one who has been the recipient of them? We are in the middle of this sermon series called Love Your Neighbor. And in this series, what we are trying to look at is those moments in which Jesus interacted with different types of neighbors, with different types of people, and we are trying to learn how we can live in community with each other. How can we love and respect and build each other up instead of creating division or despair? So it's a very important sermon series. And speaking of division, the two groups that we're going to talk today about are the Jews and the Samaritans, who definitely were not on the same page regarding social, cultural, or religious norms. And even because of that, it affected the way people travel. So location tells us a lot about who we are. So here we have the map of the region of where Jesus went and walked and teach and do miracles and everything. So this region was divided into two kingdoms. The northern kingdom of Israel with the capital of Samaria, and the southern kingdom, which was the kingdom of Judah with the capital of Jerusalem. So it's very important to know that they were divided, and it's very important to know their location, right? So Jews avoided the region of Samaria altogether, choosing to take a much longer route, a 7-day route from Judea to Galilee, all because they wanted to avoid the Samaritan territory because they couldn't do it in 3 days. And because they saw Samaritans as unclean people. Can you imagine being called unclean, not pure? That is the label the women we are talking about today needed to carry it for a long time. She was a Samaritan. That means her people were a mix of Jews with other groups who came together after the Assyrian Empire conquered the northern part of that map. Even though Samaritans were descendants of Abraham, many Jews saw them no longer religiously pure because they were mixed. So they treated them as outsiders. I want to take a moment to read the story that is found in the Gospel of John, chapter 4. And it's that moment where Jesus chooses to meet a Samaritan woman, someone not only with that label of being unclean, but someone who has been labeled by society because of her broken relationships that she has had in her past. Jesus had to go. Did you read that right there? Had to go through Samaria. He came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, which was near the land Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jesus was tired from his journey, so he sat down at the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to the well to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me some water to drink." His disciple had gone into the city to buy him some food. The Samaritan woman asked, "Why do you, a Jewish man, ask for something to drink from me, a Samaritan woman?" Jews and Samaritans didn't associate with each other. Jesus responded, "If you recognize God's gift and who is saying to you, 'Give me some water to drink,' you would be asking him and he would give you living water." The intentionality of Jesus at the well breaks through all existing divisions, cultural, social, and historical, by simply starting a conversation with a simple request: "Give me a drink." His willingness to engage with someone considered an outsider reminds us that true community begins with intentional connection. Can we read that together? True community begins with intentional connection. So let's go back to the map. So the route in red is the path that Jesus took. And the one in blue was the route that most Jews used. So you can tell that the blue is longer than the red one. So Jesus did something unheard of, a Jew passing through an unclean town. And as shocking as that is, there is more. He not only walks through Samaria, but also breaks another cultural taboo by speaking to a woman of another race and a person who has been judged as unclean and broken and as an outsider by the society. So Jesus is raising eyebrows, showing his disciples and us that hatred and rejection and othering people is not the way to live. There is a better way, the way of inclusion, the way of seeing people for who they are. Their value and worth is because they are children of God. Jesus will go wherever necessary so that those who are in pain and those who are thirsty will never thirst anymore. So location mattered for the Jews who marked that place with a big X saying, don't go there. But this place, the well, was significant for the Samaritans. It represented their rich heritage and identity for them as descendants of Jacob. The lineage, the identity the Jews were trying to deny to them. The well is an essential reminder of the identity and value that they have. So imagine how rejected and judged and unwelcome Samaritans felt in the presence of those arrogant, pure-bred Jews. Can you imagine how awkward it must have been for that woman to see a Jew sitting at the well, asking for water without a jar? And even more than that, she was surprised because he was treating her with dignity. Imagine that. So her discomfort and surprise are necessary for all of us to understand that labels, stereotypes, mistakes, or other things that people say do not define who we are in the eyes of God. Jesus shows us that for labels to change and hope to take place, there must be both intentionality and willingness to act. I already talked about that, and I'm going to repeat it because it's very important. We need to be intentional about what we do, about what we say, about how we show up. So it's very important that for labels to change and hope to take place, there must be intentionality and willingness to act. Jesus knows where exactly shame hides. He knows who carries it. So he chooses the place and the time when he knows this woman will be at the well. At noon. And why at noon? The hottest time of the day. Because that is the moment when the well will be empty. And nobody will be there to judge her and to remind her of her difficult, painful past. But Jesus isn't there to judge her. He's there to offer her something even more valuable than the water she's looking for. Jesus is there to take away her label, to restore her identity. She's no longer the woman who hides in shame. She's now the one to whom Jesus reveals his true identity, the Messiah who has come to save, to redeem the world. I invite you to go and read the Holy Story, chapter 4 in the Gospel of John, because it is a powerful story of redemption and restoration. You need to read it and see her urgency, how she leaves that place and how her identity, she claims that identity. So in the story, her excitement is so powerful that she leaves the well without the jar and without the water, running with passion and becoming one of the first disciples who tells everybody that Jesus is the Messiah. That moment is a life-changing moment for her because she will not thirst anymore. Who would have thought that a simple conversation could be the beginning of a new life? A simple conversation. The name of our church is Crossroads, and that name, Crossroads, is a reminder for us that God works in the intersections of life. Our neighborhoods, our towns, are full of wells. Wells where people come to find necessities, the necessities of life, without realizing that those places will be places where they can find the grace and the love and the acceptance of God. So I want to mention a few of those places. The soccer field sideline, the grocery store, the school drop-off line, the coffee shop, the detention center, the shelter, the sidewalk on your neighborhood. At these locations, we might meet people who are in a hurry, who are stressed, who are depressed, who are in the lowest moment of their lives. And we may have the opportunity to show, to slow down, and to tell them that we care, because we are the representation of Jesus at those wells. So Crossroads, your church, has been intentional about looking those places where life intersects. A year and a half ago, the council met and has been very intentional. So how can we fulfill our mission to transforming the world? So we decided to explore the idea or the route to meet those who are incarcerated. And the place was the Loudoun Adult Detention Center. And we have a leader, Amy Taylor, and Amy is here with us this morning. And everything that I'm going to refer about the Loudoun Detention Center is because her and many of others of this church decided to go to that place to offer living water. So we were offered the opportunity to teach a class that was designed to help inmates to strengthen their own spirituality, to support changes that are happening in their lives and the challenges that they have when they're there and when they will be released. And the greatest need was for a group of women. So the person that they met at the detention center told the leaders that this group was difficult. You see the label? Difficult to work with. That we perhaps will quit soon because they were so difficult. But Amy say, so far, nearly 3 months in, nothing could be farther from the truth. So friends, when we see people with the eyes of Jesus, we see the potential that is within them. I want to read verbatim what Amy shared with me, because I think this is so powerful and how transformation is happening at that well. Two inmates started doing devotionals with each other outside of class. They come to the small group meeting filled with hope. They bring with them meaningful poems, scripture, lyrics, or quotes to share with others. One of the inmates compiles them and calls it sacred text. And she puts them up in the bathroom so that inmates who were not in the class could read them and be encouraged. The class has grown as word has spread. Friends, this is what happens when we choose the road that the world tells us to avoid. We step into places where living water can flow, where hearts can be transformed, and where hope can occur. The church is showing up, is listening, is paying attention, is seeing them for their value. And we are offering, as a church, hope and value and change where those labels exist. This is what 1 hour a week, a conversation can do to another person. The intentionality of choosing a different route transforms lives and communities. So, what will we choose? This month, us, Crossroads Leadership, is inviting everyone at Crossroads to be engaged to serve one time inside the church and to serve one time outside the church. And we have called that a lifestyle of 1+1, so that we all can be looking at those wells and at those intersections of lives, so that hope and living water and change can be a reality there. So, friends, I invite you to stop, just like Jesus. He was tired. We are tired. Stop. Look. Find the intersections. Find those wells. Make a decision. Be intentional, so that change can happen, and live that 1+1 lifestyle. So let us choose to be present there. And one thing that is very important, the presence of God is already in those places. The only thing that we do is to show up there and be with the presence of the Holy Spirit, that it will work through you, making that change and that transformation possible. Be like the woman at the well. Accept the living water and go and transform the world. And my question, I leave you with this question. Will you see those wells, and will you see those people? Maybe so. Amen.